Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Reaction Monday. Titans fall to the Colts 2017 at Nissan Stadium yesterday. And to discuss more of that, we say hello to our favorite former Titans punter, Brett Kern, who's on the line with us. Brett, it's been an interesting morning, that is for sure, but how are you?
I'm great. I don't know if you, I don't know if I want to add more to the pot of, do you think Derek gets over 2,000 yards this year in Baltimore? You know, I think he's on pace for 1994 at 117 per game right now. Do we think he gets over 2,000?
I don't know. I mean, look, you played with him a long time. You know, never to doubt him. I learned a long time ago, never doubt him. But I will say this, and I kind of brought it up earlier. I know that Titans fans are going to be like, why did they let him go? He could be doing that here. I don't know if he'd be doing that here. I think he fits very, very well in that offensive scheme that they're running in Baltimore. And he and Lamar being a 1-2 punch, you kind of knew that's what it was going to be. So I felt it was probably best for both sides to go ahead and move on. And I don't think the run game's the problem here. I think Pollard and Spears are doing fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the run game is doing just enough, you know, to ball games. Pollard, the way Pollard runs, he's very versatile. You know, that run that he had yesterday, that 23-yarder, probably two or three missed tackles, you know, especially Gus Bradley probably be, you know, kicking himself because it was third and long, right? And you give up a little draw up the middle, and he gets a 23-yard touchdown. So, no, I mean, I don't think so. I think Derek's in the right place. You know, that the O-line up there, too, is ranked 15th, I think, in the league. So it's not like it's a top O-line, right? But like I said, you give Derek an average O-line, and Derek's going to make you pay. And, yes, it does help to have Lamar back there. You know, I think he's got 400-some yards rushing already this year. So, obviously, that 1-2 punch is pretty deadly. But, no, I don't think it's the running game at all. You know, I think there's just a lot of other issues going on that's preventing the Titans from winning football games.
So yesterday after the game, Levis was asked about the interception. He was trying to get the ball to Ridley. It gets picked off, and they did get, you know, the ball back, but that was a pretty big play. And he said he just didn't have the arm strength, that, you know, the injury is still a thing, that he couldn't push the ball down the field. And as soon as he said that, I was like, wait a minute, then why was he playing? So what were your thoughts on those comments and Levis overall?
Well, I think I texted you yesterday during the game of just saying, like, you know, it just seems like there's a lot of short throws, nothing really deep. The one that he did throw deep, you know, to Calvin, you know, it was off his back foot, right? And he had another one earlier in the game, you know, where they ended up getting the field goal out of it, but, you know, just kind of throwing again off his back foot, and it was short. Like, it should have been picked. It wasn't even close. And so, I mean, if that is the issue, obviously that's a question that I would probably ask, you know, this week, right? And I think the frustrating part, and you can understand, I can understand where Calvin's coming from, just, you know, that he's a receiver, right? He's getting paid a ton of money. I'm thankful that he is frustrated, because it could be one of those situations where, I mean, the guy's getting paid a boatload of money and he's, well, I'm getting my money. Like, who cares, right? But no, this guy, you know, I mean, last year, 76 catches, over 1,000 yards. I mean, he's on pace for 33 catches and 508 yards, right? You know, last year versus the Titans, he had a game that was 13 catches for 209 and 3 TDs. He had another one against Indy that was 12 for 131 with a touchdown. Like, you know, he's used to having those kind of games. And when you don't get your first touch, really, you know, as an end around, you know, at the 9:51 mark in the third quarter, and your first ball that is probably catchable, right, that he probably should have had. I think if you were to ask him, be like, man, I should have caught this. Right, was with 7:40 to go in the fourth quarter, and that's a $90 million receiver, right? And you have a gold jacket guy on the other side, and you have probably one of the better number three receivers in Boyd. You know, definitely possession wise, right? A guy that you know is going to be at the sticks. He's probably going to be open. He knows how to beat man. He knows where to sit in zones, right, to get open and to get first downs. And you throw for 95 yards passing, and you take away a 23 yarder. The D hop, and now you have, you know, you're under almost 70 yards passing, and it's 4.8 per attempt. Like, that's, you think with the weapons that you have, especially on offense, Pollard, your receivers, right? I think the O-line did well enough yesterday. There's no sacks. That's great, right? And so I think that's just, that's frustrating. And I think if Levis's arm was hurting, and is preventing him from making certain throws, that's you know, you need to figure out why he was in the game then, right? Because that now all of a sudden you're setting your team back knowing that you're not making certain throws because your arm's not where it's supposed to be, or it's not healthy. And that's not good.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, Brett, this question, I'm so glad we have you on today. I think, and I watched it yesterday very closely, I think Ryan Stonehouse is too good punting. And by that I mean he was out punting the coverage, Brett, by 15 yards. And if you take and the Colts were taking the two gunners away, so the receiver just went right up the middle. Is this a problem?
I mean, look, when you're, you know, we talked about my little fun stat that I have, right? And yesterday, you know, it was tied all through the board. Like, you know, Flacco had a better QBR than Levis. You know, we outrushed the Colts 146-80 and each had a turnover, right? So that's where it's split right down the board. And I feel like you can maybe flip a coin in some cases, right? But when you break down some of the smaller stats, right? I know we were talking about officiating early, but you gave up, you had 11 penalties for 113 yards. They have 5 for 40. So now all of a sudden you lost 73 yards of field position, in essence, based on penalties, right? And there were some that were absolutely, you know, killer for the Titans. And then, you know, there was one, the one on D-Hop, that is a flag. I wish they were giving one challenge a game to say, hey, look, that's pass interference. We're challenging that. That's a no-brainer. And I bet you take 20 seconds for the officials to look in that booth and say, yep, we got it wrong. Sorry, first down, right? You know, but then there's a legal contact where Levis threw the ball out of bounds on D-Hop, and it's like it kept the drive going. We got 3 points out of it. So, but you lost 73 yards in penalties, right? And then another one we always talk about, you know, I mean, going back to Coach Lowry way back with Fisher, you talk about the hidden yardage on special teams. Well, you lost 58 yards just based on punt return yardage. They had 4 for 67. We had only had 2 for 9, right? That's 58 yards. Ooh. That's almost 6 first downs of hidden yardage that the Colts don't have to get through Flacco on the offense, right? So, I mean, you're looking at 131 yards between those two categories of hidden yardage that you gave up to the Colts. 13 free first downs for that offense. Wow. And to me, it looks like Stonehouse is just, he's back there. He's booming it, right? He had that 75-yarder yesterday that I felt, I mean, he could have sent that thing up to Goodlettsville if he wanted to the stadium. But, you know, when you're punting it, his hang is lower than what it should be. If you're gonna smoke 164, 70 yards, you better have the hang to match with it. And if you're going to put it down the middle of the field and give somebody like Downs, who's a very, very talented returner, that's not good. And so you're losing this yardage where you look at what Indy did yesterday and my guy Rigo, he was directional punting, right? You know, he had those ones at the end of the game, bam, you put him to the sidelines, you can't get anything, right? And so I think, you know, and I know Stonehouse is bad. He's got a lot going through his head probably with block punts. I can tell he's quicker, right? And so I think he's just saying, hey, I'm going to get this off quick. I'm going to boom it down the middle. Let's go cover it. Well, you know, you start out-kicking your coverage with a little bit lower hang, you're putting a lot of stress on that coverage team. Mm-hmm. So I think I just wonder over time, over the season, will he get some of that pop back for the hang time? Will he then get comfortable as the games go of not getting a punt block? Now can he start directional, getting that thing, you know, outside the numbers to the left and to the right to really help his coverage out? But, you know, you give up 131 yards of hidden yardage, that will cost you a game.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Let me ask you this. So Ridley goes out and says he needs the ball and all that and pretty much throws the quarterback, head coach under the bus in a kind of a polite way. So you go into the locker room today, Brett. I mean, is it – what's the mood now? I mean, does Callahan bring Ridley aside? I mean, what would you do to talk to Ridley off the ledge?
I mean, yeah, obviously you have to have a conversation, right? You know, I mean, how does the defense feel, right? You know, you're first in 243 yards per game. You're first in a couple other categories. And then, you know, offense, you're down there with the Browns and the Patriots, 135 yards passing per game, 253 total, right? And you're smushed between the Browns and the Patriots in both of those categories. You know, defense is probably super frustrated, right? I'm sure there's a lot of frustrated guys in that locker room, and they're just trying to figure out what's going on. And so, you know, I just look at I think that pick that Levis threw against Green Bay to Alexander that he returned for a touchdown, I don't know. Maybe it looks like, and I could be wrong. I'm not the quarterback guru. I just punted footballs for a living. I'm not the quarterback guy, right? I guess it just looks like, Will, you know, when you're throwing those out routes and stuff like that, which is something that Calvin really excels at, I think the broadcast yesterday said that he was one of the top-rated receivers outside the numbers, and the Colts were giving up over 600-plus yards outside the numbers to receivers. Ooh. So Calvin's probably thinking, I'm going to feast on this on these DBs, right? But if that's the struggle throw for Levis, if that's the throw that 10-yard out, that 15-yard out, where you can't wait for the guy to get open to throw it. The DBs are way too good in this league. They'll make up the time. They'll either pick it, they'll bat it down, and that happened a couple times yesterday with Ridley. You have to throw that guy open. I remember in practice, you know, throwing with Tannehill, and we kind of fool around, and he's practicing routes, and I'm just, like, mocking a little out route. And that ball is gone. That ball's already halfway there when I first make my break. And I'm not D-hop. We obviously know that, right? And I'm just like, dude, what are you? He's like, man, that throw, you got to throw him open. There's no – you can't wait for that guy to get open. It's going to get picked, right? And so I think if that's the struggle throw for Will, especially after having that pick return for a touchdown, then Brian's all of a sudden thinking, hey, I don't know if I really want to call a lot of these. Well, now all of a sudden you're taking maybe Ridley's – best two routes out of his playbook. Well, then how are you going to get him the ball, right? So if that's what Will struggles with the most, and that's what Calvin excels the most, there's a problem, right? And so, that could be an issue. There could be more issues. That's just kind of my observation so far. And hopefully, hopefully they can get it fixed.
Brett Kern is with us here on the program. Brett, appreciate it as always. We always love your insight. And Buffalo next week, we'll see. We'll see what this looks like, but we'll talk next Monday.
Up to Western New York. not an easy place to.
Do you love punting there?
I probably already have the weather eyed up a month in advance of that game. But I think it's going to be, up there. You get it late October. It shouldn't be too bad. Hopefully, there's no snow. Maybe just some wind. So it shouldn't be too bad.
Before I let you go real quick, I'm sorry, Chase. What stadium had the best insults that you just laughed? Because I've been to Buffalo on the sidelines, Brett, and their insults are fantastic. What one stadium stands out to you?
So Philly. Philly got extremely personal. they like new details on your family, your wife, your kids, your parents. And so they knew a lot. Buffalo was just more of comments that you knew that people were just drunk, right? And you can kind of deal with those, and sometimes it was pretty comical. But Philly was very personal. That was probably the one place where I would actually have to ask a security guard to tell somebody to be quiet, because it was just dude, you are crossing the line with these comments. So
I believe it. I've heard some things about Philly for sure. Brett, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Y'all take care.
So yeah, Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the show as he does every Monday. We'll get back to your calls, back to your texts. Reaction to the Titans, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wherever you want to take it. But our question of the day is, what would the Titans' record be, in your opinion, with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback? I think at least 3-2, probably 4-1.
And if you think it's 1-4, I want to hear why.
Yeah, I'd like to hear why. To know why. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. More Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Little ELO on this Titans Reaction Monday, and Titans fans are going to hold on tight to their dream of a Super Bowl, whenever that might happen.
You have to.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
Think about the Browns and the Lions, the Jags, the Texans. I don't count the Jags and the Texans in that so much. I do the Browns and the Lions that have never been to a Super Bowl. Never been.
Yeah.
You've never been to a Super Bowl.
I think the Lions got a pretty good chance this year. That's a good team, man.
And but is he going to ruin them?
I don't know. I mean, I do, thoughts and prayers for Aiden Hutchinson. That was nasty. I don't know if you saw it. I was watching it, and that was a nasty injury. And if you go back and listen to it, you can kind of hear it. I mean, that's how bad it was. But You know, so obviously he's done for the year, but I still think that's a really good team. And you're right. The question is going to be, can Dan Campbell be disciplined enough not to, you know, make too much of a
right.
Stones type call in the in the wrong moment?
Are we down to only four teams now that have never been to a Super Bowl? Am I reading this correctly?
Houston, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Detroit. Yeah,
that's it. Okay, I was just making sure I wasn't losing my mind, but those are four that have never ever been, and the Browns aren't getting. I mean, Deshaun Watson is beyond awful. You think we got problems here? You imagine that? That's a guaranteed $50 zillion contract.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And he's not going.
They're
going
to have to. They're going to have to just. They're going to come to a point like I would do it now, where it's just like, look, Haslam screwed up. They shouldn't have signed him to that deal. We're going to have to eat it. Put Winston in, and then see what happens.
Do you think Haslam's going to admit he made a mistake? You think any of these billionaires, they're not going to.
Of course not.
And I feel bad because I think Stefanski's a good coach, but his hands are tied right now, and he's going to be gone.
Well, he doesn't care. I mean, I know he cares, but he got signed to a contract extension this summer. So good for him. He'll be like Vrabel and get paid.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal, and this is something I want to bring up earlier, but now I think that – don't hate me, Titans fans. I'm just saying – the NFL needs a Vrabel-type coach who gets pissed off at his players, who can't stand them after a Sunday, who admonish praise on them the next Sunday, who just love them and say, you're going to hold the world up, and you're the reason the sun shines. There are no coaches like that anymore.
No.
They're not.
Well, and some texters on the text line have kind of said that with Callahan of, well, we got rid of the a-hole that everybody was, you know, tired of,
right.
which I agree that it had kind of the shtick had kind of run its course. You know, there were times where he'd be asked a very simple question and he'd bristle and, you know, give a kind of a jerk like answer, and it's like, just answer the question.
Yeah.
But then you go the complete opposite to the nice guy, and you know, it's the Predators did it. Peter Laviolette was kind of that way. Was kind of like Vrabel and very like, this is what I expect. And then you go to John Hines, who was a nicer guy. And you see that a lot. Like, if you have that, you go, like, and it was kind of like Barry Trotz was, obviously we know, he was very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Now, he expected a lot of his team. I've seen Barry get, you know, frustrated and stuff.
Oh, yes.
But you did kind of go opposite going to Laviolette. So it happens. That's the ebbs and flows of coaches,
but
and everything.
I'm going down the list of these NFL coaches, and we've had this discussion before. Do any of them scare you? I mean, Bill Parcells would scare the hell out of me. Ditka scared the hell out of me. There's a thing I read about. I'm a big Tom Landry fan.
Yeah.
Because of his faith and everything else. They were talking about how the players loved Tom Landry so much. He was very hard on him, but they didn't want to disappoint him. Staubach, Dorsett, Harvey Martin, Tuttle, Randy White, on and on.
And I think Andy Reid's kind of in that category.
You don't want to disappoint.
Like, Andy doesn't scare me, but, like, I don't want to let him down.
He's got your back.
Right.
So now look at these coaches across the National Football League.
That's a good question.
The Eagles are sitting there at 3-2, have a great offense, and they hate him.
Yeah.
Players don't like him and everything else. I mean, he chirped at the, like Brett Kern was talking about, the Philly, Eagles fans. He was arguing.
Oh, Vrabel. They came back and won yesterday because they were saying fire him, and he was like, what? I don't hear you. I actually like that. Like, good for him.
But there's so many nice guy coaches that doesn't work out fine. Could you imagine we've talked to McLean about this, but like Lombardi coaching him today, he'd be fired after one game because you insulted me.
Yeah, right.
He'd be gone.
Yeah.
It's just
– I'm trying to think of like coaches – like Pete Carroll, I think, was – like now Pete – you kind of knew what Pete expected. But I think I almost put him in the you don't want to let him down. But I don't know. Pete was nice. Like when I've interacted with him,
he had your back.
He was super cool. But like he's not the Belichick. And Belichick, I think, is almost like Belichick had a persona. But like we see behind the scenes, Belichick, like he has your back. Like he's that kind of coach.
And that's the thing. I never wanted a coach to be my friend.
No. Be my coach. And I don't think Belichick was that. Like, I know people that have said, no, he's going to coach you. but he's going to look out for you.
I mean, my coach in junior college was on my ass every single practice. And he told me, and I went to him after like four games in, and I said, I'm doing everything I can. And he goes, that's why I yell at you. I'm like, I don't understand it. He's like, because there's something there, and I'm trying to pull out. He goes, Joe, the day, and we've talked about this, the day I stop screaming at you is a day you need to worry.
Yeah.
And I've carried that my entire life. The day somebody stops, not screaming, but asking, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You need to worry. And so I always did. I'm like, all right, coach, I appreciate that.
You know what's funny is, so I remember a time, and, you know, I wasn't a player. You know, I was the manager.
But you were a player.
But hey-o.
Right, but, David James?
But there was a time that I had messed something up, for practice. Coach had asked me for something, and I forgot to do it.
Damn it.
And so he got pissed. Like, he got really pissed at me. This was Dan McGugan at FRA. And I was like, you know, I wasn't used to that necessarily. I mean, he was really mad. And I was like, sorry, coach, and I fixed it and all that stuff. But I was, like, mad at myself because it's like, man, he asked me to do this, and I forgot. And he comes up to me after practice, and he goes, what'd you learn today? And I said, I learned I'm going to be better about remembering when, you know, you asked me to do something. He goes, you like it when I get on your ass like that? And I was like, well, not really. And he goes, then good. That'll help you remember. And I was like, okay. And it kind of – but what it did was I was mad. Like, I was mad at myself. And so, you know, I made sure that I wasn't going to make that same mistake again. And I can remember an interview with Dale Earnhardt Jr. one time, and he said that, you know, my crew chief has learned that I drive the race car better when I'm mad. And so, like, they would say and do little things to piss him off because it would give him that – you know, and there's just some players that's what they need. Like, I need you to make me mad.
There you go.
Like, get under my skin. And the great coaches know how to balance that.
Exactly. And you don't mess up again. I'm sure with McGugan's like, oh, man, I don't want to mess up again because I don't let him down.
Yeah.
Look, and before we go to the break, the three things my coach told me in junior college, which stuck with me forever. He's like, three things you don't want to do. You don't embarrass your program. You don't embarrass your teammates. And you don't embarrass your mom. Carry that with you throughout your life, which means give everything you can within reason, and you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get put down. Everything else is part of journey. I'm telling you, and Dr. Crane, we talked about with his high school football. I mean, the lessons we learned in high school football, even if you didn't play in college or the pros, I don't care. The lessons you learned of being accountable go so far. Chris Sanders has talked about this. Go so far in life with you that it's more than wins or losses when you're starting out playing. And that's what you kind of take with you the rest of your life.
You know, it's funny. We started this conversation off about, like, teams that have never played in the Super Bowl. Now, it probably won't happen, but there is a chance that two of those could get scratched off the list this year because Houston's pretty good, and so is Detroit. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be crazy?
That'd be good. I'd love to see Detroit go.
Yeah.
It'd be so much
everybody,
fun.
The dream one is everybody wants Cleveland and Detroit. Cleveland's terrible. Yeah. It's not going to happen this year. I mean, they're all on the Guardians bandwagon right now. But
when we come back, two things I want to bring up to you. I want to get your reaction to that really were eye-opening this weekend.
Okay. We will do that coming up next. And by the way, join Big Joe and Chip Walters tomorrow night as MTSU is in action on 93.3, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville. They take on Kennesaw State at Floyd Stadium. We'll have the pregame show for you at 5:30, the kick at 7, and MTSU coverage on 93.3 is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday, taking your reaction to the Titans losing, 615-737-1025. I always love these texts. Let me read this one real quick.
Sure.
7182, who has not listened to the show, apparently. Clown show media market. Five games in and you're figuring out firing Vrabel was a mistake. Well, you're the clown show, because if you've listened to us before, you know we've kind of said that.
Yeah, so, right?
But that's fine. You know, that's the narrative that you want to come up with because you want to be fun and text in and hear your text read on the air. So there you go. You got what you wanted.
Chaser.
I just don't care for those.
That's right.
You know, you want to have a discussion, that's fine. You want to insult me and this radio station, then I got a problem.
Ooh. So,
Meet you out in the parking lot. Let's fight. Let's go.
Pour the wine the other way, folks.
That's right.
Meet you in the parking lot. I see you pull in the parking lot. Joe, go out there and talk to him.
Exactly what I would say.
Hey, how's it going?
Dr. Crane.
How's it going today?
No, but see, Dr. Crane's like the guy in the movie where, you know, it's like they send out the, you know, the kind of the little guy and everybody's like, oh, whatever. And he just annihilates him. Like,
he's there you go, Dr. Crane.
He's the secret assassin.
Chase, baseball bat.
Chase is on the roof with a bullhorn. What do you want?
Hey, Dr. Crane, to your left. I'm going to get him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what is it you were going to bring up?
All right, so the Cotton Bowl this past weekend had Texas-Oklahoma. And some are like, well, it needs to be moved to Jerry's World. Don't touch it.
No, leave it there. I agree. Leave it there.
It looked great.
It was awesome.
On TV, the overhead shots. Leave the Cotton Bowl alone. Leave that game where it is.
It's fun. Honestly, did you go to the Winter Classic?
I did not.
All right. So we did. And, I mean, look, it's old, but it's not bad. Like, they've done some stuff to it. They've taken care of it. It's fine.
It was great during the game when they were showing highlights of years past of game all at the same field. Keep it. I know they moved the Cotton Bowl game to Jerry's World, but leave that Cotton Bowl. Leave that game alone. Because it was great. It looked great on TV, and Texas beat the snot out of Oklahoma.
Does anyone play at the Cotton Bowl? What do they use it for? Other than this game?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe a high school?
Maybe.
It's also, you saw the 30 for 30, the Miami Hurricanes documentary when Randall Hill ran into the tunnel, and it came out with the six-gun shooter.
Oh, yeah.
And they beat A&M. That's just an iconic moment that so many people hated. Second thing, your opinion on this. So the Vegas and Steelers game was this weekend out in Vegas. And they said upwards of like 75% of the crowd was Steelers fans. So much the Raiders quarterback couldn't hear. Somebody said, well, they've got to find a way to keep opposing fans out of the stadium. I completely disagree.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Stop this.
People complain about that here. You know how you do that? You put a good team together and you build a fan base. Now, the difference is, you know, you decided, you me being the Raiders, to move to a tourist town. So you're not going to have, like, it's going to be a lot harder to establish a fan base there because it's a destination. And so if you're Steelers fans and you look, oh, hey,
right,
we're playing the Raiders in Vegas, let's make a trip.
Yeah, exactly right. There were a lot of Colts fans yesterday.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop. Look, let's talk about
this. And Nashville has that issue too. We're a destination city. We're a vacation city now.
You're not going to stop Steelers fans from showing up. You're not. That's just the way it's always been. Cowboy fans. When the Cowboys played here in 2014 with Romo, DeMarco Murray, I truly thought it was a Cowboys. And it was beautiful. That's just the way it is. So stop worrying about things you cannot control. You're not going to keep the opposing team fans out of your state. It's not going to happen. And because it's the Steelers. Now, if you're playing the Jags, that's not going to happen in your stadium. It just be prepared when you play – the Steelers and the Cowboys, even the Bills, they travel so well. And the Bears fans, be prepared for those people in your stadium. You're not ever going to stop it. Yes, it was funny watching all these Steelers amidst the small, you know, people of the black and gold, or the black and gold, the silver and black in Vegas. It was kind of funny looking at all the Steelers jerseys, but it's not going to stop. So stop worrying about that, please.
No, you can't worry about all that. I mean, that's just what it is. The Raiders are bad. I mean, they're a bad team. I know we kind of talked about this last week. I'm kind of a believer in the Steelers now. I mean, they're 4-2. The AFC North, you got the Bengals that are now 2-4. They're not a good team. They played a bad team in the Giants. Like, I don't think the Bengals are very good.
Yeah.
But, like, Baltimore's obviously legit, and I think Pittsburgh may be legit. You know, the AFC South, I think it's Houston and everybody else. The AFC West, I think it's Kansas City and everybody else, even though the Chargers might be one to keep paying attention to because maybe as the year goes on they get better. The NFC East, Washington's fun right now because of the quarterback, but I think they come back down to earth, you know, at some point. NFC North is the best division in football, which I never thought we would say that.
Check the standings on the NFC. What, not the NFC North? No.
Yeah. NFC. Are you talking about Minnesota?
Yeah, what division is that?
That's the North.
North, is it?
Vikings are 5-0, Detroit's 4-1, and Green Bay and Chicago are 4-2.
Yeah, that's a fun little what's going on there. And then you go to the West, it's like, good Lord.
The South is kind of fun because of the Falcons and the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, they've made it interesting. The Saints aren't very good. The Panthers are terrible. And then the West, yeah, they're all kind of right there together. The 49ers and Seahawks are 3-3, Cardinals are 2-4, and the Rams are 1-4.
Ooh, the Rams.
Yeah. They're just not very good. Nope. But the NFL in general is just, that's kind of where it is right now. It's just kind of blah.
It is all across.
College football, on the other hand, is fun to watch.
It gets better every week.
I know.
I mean, the Tennessee-Florida game, which we didn't spend a lot of time on. We apologize.
We will tomorrow. I mean, we'll talk a lot of college tomorrow.
But that looked – it was great. Switching back and forth from Ohio State and Oregon. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. And then LSU Ole Miss. It was just like, what's – and then you throw in Vandy and all that.
Oh, yeah. So, interesting weekend for sure. Coming up next, we will get to what day is it and our favorite – celebrity birthdays, and there is a birthday shout-out that I want to give. We will do that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Monday. Reaction Monday and DVD coming up next. They'll continue the reaction. Also, Brian Callahan will speak right at 11, so they will have that at the start of their show. Before we get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays – I saw this earlier and, you know, kind of made me sad and, you know, smile a little bit all at the same time. But today would have been our buddy, the late, great Frank Wycheck's 53rd birthday. We miss Frankie dearly.
Sure do.
We were sitting at a tiki bar in Key West, Florida when we got that news that he had
Sunday
passed.
Sunday morning, yep. Your face turned ashen white and you're like, oh, my God. And then we saw it and I was like, oh, man.
I said, Joe, Frank Wycheck died. And you were like, no. Like, it was one of those, like, I can't, no. I refuse to believe it.
Right.
And that's when our phones started ringing and getting text and all of that. And so definitely thinking about Frankie today. I saw Kevin Ingram's post. And obviously they spent a lot of years together in morning radio with Mark Howard as well, the late, great Mark Howard. And so everybody thinking about 89 today. Also – we talked about this earlier. 32 years ago today, Dr. Crane.
A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive left field. One run is in. Here comes Breen. Here's the throw to the plate. He is safe. Braves win.
What a call. The late, great Skip Carey on the call.
Man.
Fantastic. And it's ironic that this was 32 years ago today because coming up today at 3 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan, the director, George Plaster, the George Plaster Show, you can hear that on 94.9 The Fan. He left the game early. He's always talked about that.
That was an amazing moment. And people have asked about, you know, that was a great, but why was that so great? And for those that grew up Braves fans in the 70s and 80s, I know they went to the World Series in 91. I get that. But that moment's like, was that a fluke? And then they go back. And it's just an amazing moment. It all came together. And it was late at night. It was just, I mean, I had chills hearing that again after watching it. God, 32 years ago.
Yeah, against the Pirates and Jim Leland, the manager of the Pirates at the time. And
Barry Bonds.
I mean, those very good Pirates team.
And
Game 7.
Events like Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah.
All those in that team.
Yeah, very, very good. And they're showing another clip. There's Bobby Cox, the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Woo!
Hard to believe that that was two stadiums ago now.
Crazy,
already
right?
On another one. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen, first on the list, we have Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, National Chocolate-Covered Insects Day.
What?
Grasshoppers, maybe. Hey, shout out to the Midday Show, Be Bald and Be Free Day. How about that?
There you go.
National Dessert Day. Okay. National Frump Day.
Oh, that's an endearing term for people like me. You're frumpy.
National Frugal Responsible Unpretentious Mature Persons Day. That's just
it's basically acronym. Be cheap.
Yeah, it basically so. Okay. National Kick Butt Day.
That's every day for me.
Indeed. Chase is out on a mission today.
Except when he's on top of the roof.
Yelling from a bullhorn.
Is that them?
Go get him, Dr. Crane.
Sick him, boy.
Look out, look out.
I fancy Chase like Rick Moranis in Spaceballs. He's that kind of tough guy.
No, this is how I picture Dr. Crane, though. Remember the scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark where the big guy comes in with the swords and like he's doing this fancy thing and he's about to go after Indiana Jones and he just pulls the gun out and shoots him?
Right.
Which the story behind that is Harrison Ford had the flu or something. Food poisoning.
Food poisoning, yeah.
And they had this whole fight scene and he just felt like crap and so he just does it and everybody loved it and they kept that as the
It's a great scene. Moment in cinema.
Well, the rest of the list we have here is National Lowercase Day. National Online Banking Day, so make sure you got your money situated.
Yeah,
National Real Sugar Day, Native American Day, and Canadian Thanksgiving, World Standards Day, and that's all we have.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
That's what it says. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these.
I like real sugar, too.
You got these. When real sugar, is that like when your grandma kisses you?
Give me some sugar. Yeah.
That's real sugar. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You have to get these within two. Our first birthday, Usher. How old is Chattanooga-born Usher?
Ooh. 45
exactly. Chaser knows his halftime show, people.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know who that is. It's going down here. Jay Farrow from Saturday Night Live. Very funny man.
He's been up here before, hasn't he?
He has.
44.
50.
36. Okay.
Woo. Goodness. Famous British singer Cliff Richard. He's famous. He's got a lot of good songs. Devil Woman. He sang a great duet with Olivia Newton-John.
73.
70.
83. Actor Greg Evigan from BJ and the Bear.
I don't really know that one either, but...
These are my two dads.
68.
70.
70, exactly.
Yeah,
we're tied at two. Singer Thomas Dolby, who blinded me with science.
So that's 80s. 67.
69.
65. Chaser's up 3-2. Actress Lori Petty. She was in... A League of Her Own.
Something else.
Was she in Point Break? I think she's in Point Break. Was it the same girl? No. Maybe? Hell, I don't know.
I know the name.
That's with Keanu Reeves, isn't it?
Point it Break. Is.
Yeah.
62. 67. 60. Chaser's up 4-2. Going down here. Let's see what we got here. Country singer Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks. Is that the lead singer?
Yeah.
Okay, Natalie Maines.
52.
50.
49. It's 4-3. Chase McKay. We're not done yet. We got some more. Hold on real quick here. TV personality Stacey Keibler. She's on Dancing with the Stars.
Wrestling.
No relation to the Keibler Elves.
WWE. Yeah. She was in WWE.
And she is good.
Yeah. She dated George Clooney for a while, too. 42.
48.
44. Chaser's up 5-2. You guys have got them all.
By the way, the movie The Wolves with George Clooney and Brad Pitt, I watched that this weekend. Very good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I liked it.
Chase, you should get this one. Chaser's up 5-3. Ralph Lauren, fashion designer. I know you wear a lot of his stuff around here. You go between him and Sam Walton.
Yeah. 82.
88.
84. Chaser's killing it today. 6-3. All right, here we go. Sport. Beth Daniel, LPGA.
62.
32. 67. Former Dolphins running back, Eagles running back, Keith Byers. Ohio State player.
Yeah.
Number 41.
71.
70.
61. Joe Girardi.
Former Yankees, Phillies manager, I think. 60.
57.
60 exactly. Chase is up 8-3. We got three left. Stephen A. Smith.
Was just here.
Just here on Friday.
Yeah.
Stephen TSU. A. Smith. You're up 8-3.
58. 57.
It's 8-4. Now you're within striking range, Dr. Crane. You got to get them all dead on, though.
Quickly.
If you played fantasy basketball back in the 90s, you loved this guy. Jim Jackson, Ohio State guard who was awesome in the NBA scoring points. Jimmy Jackson.
57.
60.
54. So, Chase, you can get double digits for like the third time ever. Our final birthday, the head coach Radio from the program, from the movie Radio. Remember with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The head coach was Ed Harris in that movie. Still alive. Radio. It says American football coach. James Robert Radio Kennedy, American football coach.
87.
90.
78. Chase, you win 8-4.
Well, I'll take it. I'll take my victory.
Well done.
Victory lap.
Now get up on top of the roof and yell at people.
Get a spotlight.
You young whippersnappers.
Now, that will do it for us, but don't go anywhere because D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick coming up next. DVD, they will have full reaction to the Titans and also Brian Callahan speaking at the top of the hour. We're back at it tomorrow at 9.
They will have that as we always enter the new work week to our guys. You're doing fantastic. 988 on your cell phone. Need to talk to anybody. Please, if you need to reach out, we're always here for you. Remember, God loves you. If something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. But you're doing fantastic, and I want you to know that and know that we love you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD next. 102.5, 106.3. That game.